Welcome back to the Male Models Podcast. I'm Josh Peck. I'm your host. I'm your groomsman. I'm the guy. I'm the purveyor of good times.
Guys, my name's Joe. I am dating Kim Kardashian, and it is a blessing. I am also known as Pete.
Again, and I know we've broached this topic before, but I think on paper, dating Kim Kardashian sounds awesome. In practice, tough.
Very expensive.
Just a lot of financial pressure.
Plus, you have to treat her entire family. That's like nine people.
Oh my God, can you imagine? And you know they like to go to nice places and they're not having Easter dinner at Red Lobster.
Red Lobster's pretty nice.
It's totally fine. And people that like make fun of it.
Do you like Red Lobster?
Yeah, Cheddar Bay Biscuits.
Let's go.
Don't threaten me with a good chain restaurant time because you know I'm in.
What's your favorite chain? One, two, three.
Applebee's. Wow. This is why we have a podcast.
Second favorite chain. One, two, three. Chili's. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Did we just become best friends?
Yup.
Unbelievable.
Let's just address the tea right now. You've been eating my cereal in my kitchen for the past how long?
Joe has decorative Lucky Charms inside gigantic glass jars because he somehow has never heard of Home Goods and can't get like real decoration. So he uses food to decorate his living space nevertheless. And yeah, I've been eating, I've been munching on it on and off for the last 3 months.
FDA probes Lucky Charms for possible link to illnesses. The Food and Drug Administration officials said that they are examining reports from more than 100 consumers who told the agency that they got sick after eating Lucky Charms cereal recently. That is a lot of people to be sick from cereal.
How sick?
Well, what have you been experiencing lately?
Just all my natural ailments.
Cough, sore throat.
That's just being Jewish. I wake up with a cough and a sore throat. That's just me.
All I'm saying is we might have a case on our hands and it may be a payday for you.
Ooh, a class action suit. I've been wanting one of those since I was a kid.
And the best part, you're at the forefront of it because we have video proof of you eating it.
I mean, how great is it when you would watch commercials as a kid and those things would come on like, did you have lead paint growing up?
Yes!
Or like mesothelioma. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I hope I have it because I want to get paid.
And have you ever heard of anyone getting paid from a class action?
I had my buddy once went after Vitamix. I'm like, you're a scumbag.
As part of a class action?
Yeah, it was like him and a couple other 100 people. I don't even know what it was for. They all worked for Vitamix. And I'm like, really? Vitamix?
Yeah, a lot of jobs have it. So when I worked at Home Improvement Store, I think I had the option to enter one, but I just didn't understand what it was.
If you're hoping for a lawsuit to go through or if you're waiting on a payout, it says a lot about your life. I can make a lot of conclusions about you as a person. One, you didn't go to an Ivy League school. Like, you didn't go to Vassar and you're waiting for your payout from ExxonMobil. Fuck that.
One time I partied at Columbia University.
Columbia, New York.
Yeah. Okay. Ivy League school.
Ivy League, yeah.
I went to community college at the time, so we had a lie, and I had to say that I was going to Rutgers so that the other Ivy Leaguers kind of respected me a little more.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Because you're actually going to, like, Freehold State. Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I wonder if this is true, because I've heard things like with, you know, certain institutions, Ivy League, the whole idea of it is it's twofold. It's that they only take 1% of applicants or maybe even less or a couple percentage points of applicants. So the fact that you are able to get in says so much about you. And then kind of the networking of people that you meet who will eventually go on to big fancy jobs and they can help you to sort of get around in life and, you know, sort of upgrade you in social circles. Those are the two benefits of going to a Harvard or a Yale or whatever. But when it actually comes down to the academics, you're probably not learning anything more than you would at a normal state school. Do you think that's true?
I think the pressure there is a lot harder because when I was there on Friday nights, I would go pretty often. People would just study.
Fucking nerds.
Versus at Rutgers.
Let's go.
Blackout City.
It's time to turn up Jersey style.
Frat row, fat sandwiches.
Fat sandwich. Ooh, I'm in on the sandwiches.
Dude.
Frat row, less exciting, too much testosterone. Sandwiches. Very co-ed.
First frat party that I went to at Rutgers, some guy goes, here, drink this. And you know, oblivious me. Okay.
Sure.
Everclear. Blacked out immediately. Don't remember anything for the next day.
Everclear, which is like moonshine. It's basically like booze that you make in a bathtub.
Yeah. And my throat burns so hard and I've never really drank before. So I was like, oh.
Super powerful.
Yeah, I don't know how it got back.
Have you ever had absinthe?
Yes. Someone I knew went to Amsterdam and brought it back for me.
Because, should we look it up real quick for anyone who doesn't know?
Yeah, what is it called?
Absinthe.
Absinthe is that magical drink. It's green, but it was featured in that movie Eurotrip.
Right. Absinthe is an anise flavored. Ooh, anise, a really yummy spice used in a lot of Asian cooking. I digress. Absinthe is an anise flavored spirit derived from several plants, including the flowers and leaves of something, grand wormwood. It's commonly referred to as the green fairy. It's sometimes mistakenly referred to as liqueur. Yeah, yeah, blah, blah. Smart, smart. What do they say?
You see the green fairy.
That it almost has like a marijuana effect.
Yeah, you hallucinate on it.
Right.
And when I drank it, I didn't hallucinate.
You just blacked out like on the Everclear?
No, I didn't even black out. It was just like regular liquor to me.
Blacking out is a terrifying experience.
Mm-hmm.
But only in hindsight, right? Because while it's happening, it's like, oh, this is just anesthesia.
Yeah.
But once you realize, like, when you wake up and you realize you're safe, but how close you could have been to not being safe.
There's nothing worse than not knowing how you got to where you are. It's like, what happened? Because then you have panic attacks. Like, what did I say to somebody?
And then how do you figure out, do you have to then do, like, detective work and talk to your friends and piece it together?
Oh yeah, and you get different perspectives from everybody. So you're like, I was an asshole, I'm so sorry.
Right, because you're trying to co-sign with everyone that it wasn't that bad. Like, oh, I just quietly got into an Uber and respectfully over-tipped and got in bed and just lights out.
And no one threw up in the car, correct?
Yeah, and this $350 cleaning fee was just like a cute joke between me and the Uber driver. I've talked about this in the only time I've truly blacked out was in Vancouver, Canada, when I was 20 years old.
Really?
I was doing a movie there, and it was right before I got sober. I think I had just turned 21, and this was December, and I got sober 2 months later in February. And I remember I was like, well, I'm going to go have a drink by myself, which sounds odd.
You blacked out by yourself?
Yeah, that's how I roll, baby. Listen,
I do the same thing with carbs.
I overdo it. We know this about me. I remember I went to some bar and, you know, Canadians just being all Canadian-like, they were being incredibly friendly.
Did they know you?
No, but I think they just were like, what's this young man doing here drinking a Coors Light alone?
Yeah.
And
is that what you were drinking, Coors Light?
I think so, or a pina colada, not sure.
You go into the biker bar.
Daiquiris for everyone. Lemon drops on me, boys. Vroom, vroom. But I remember going and I'm drinking and I start talking to the bartender and then his friends come and they start having all these shots that they've created. One's called like the DUI Buster because it had like a creme de menthe in it. So it like tasted like mint so that your breath wouldn't reek of alcohol.
So smart.
And so we wind up going to like a couple different bars throughout the night. Like
you and these strangers?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But they're Canadian, so they're not really strangers.
Just friends you haven't met yet.
Yeah, just good peeps. And I was like, you guys are a fun hang. And we wind up drinking and drinking. They wouldn't let me pay. I don't think I got drugged. I don't think those guys had a crush on me. I mean, hopefully they did, but they didn't act on it. And... I just need it for my ego. And I just remember waking up in my hotel room. This is the only time in bed, throw up around me.
Oh.
And like being like, I had no recollection of how I got there.
Wow.
Terrible feeling.
And how'd you try piecing it together?
I couldn't because they were strangers.
You didn't get anyone's number?
No. I just like, and I like felt around my body and everything felt intact. Like nothing was removed. And... two kidneys, one liver, and yeah.
Three balls.
But it was a terrifying prospect. And so much of my drug and drinking career, while it was slightly brief in, you know, that it took me 4 years to get sober, I was so lucky so many times, Joe.
What were you doing in Vancouver?
I was making this movie called What Goes Up. With Steve Coogan, Hilary Duff.
No way!
Molly Shannon. Yeah, and it was wild because I remember that when I was doing How I Met Your Father with Hilary Duff 15 years later.
You guys chat about it?
Thank the Lord So when I saw her, she like came up and gave me a big hug. And I'm like, she totally remembers. She must. I remember that I was not in a good place when we made that movie. Hillary, from my recollection, was the same Hillary. Like, just nice and on it. I remember one night, like, I drove home with her from the set. And the driver of our car, the transpo guy, I was sitting up front with him. She was in the back and she's playing music. And I just was like, I'm not going to talk. I can't talk to Hillary Duff right now. Like,
I... Were you nervous?
Yeah. And I'm like a Gordo guy. Like, I wasn't a Lizzie guy. So it's just.
Gordo.
I was nervous. At that point in my life, I had a hard time with pretty girls. Like, I preferred to I treated pretty girls like gangs. Like, just don't make eye contact with them and leave them alone and they'll leave you alone. So I was intimidated. So I just was quiet in the front seat. And I think I had like gotten high before we drove home. So it was not good. And I remember like from the back seat, she was like, oh, what kind of music do you like? And I'm like, oh, she can't be talking to me. And so
she must be talking to the driver.
I just stayed quiet. And like, I remember the driver looking at me like, answer, you fucking loser. And then finally he looked at me. He's like, hey, she asked you a question. And
oh, I was, he said something to you?
Yeah. He just, not in a jerky way, just like, hey. And I like turned back and I was like, I like hip hop. And that was it.
No! Did she remember that?
No.
You guys got to talk about that.
It was so funny because so she gives me a big hug when we're doing How I Met Your Father. And I'm like, this girl is lovely. And then a few weeks pass and I'm like, I don't think she remembers. So I said to her, I was like, hey, remember when we made that movie together like 15 years ago? And she was like, oh my, like she had just blacked it out.
Yeah.
And forgot about it. I mean, it wasn't the most memorable movie, you know, no disrespect. And I was just like, good. I'm glad you don't remember. Like, this version of me is the version I want you to know.
When you make movies, do you refer to them as different eras of your life?
Kind of. Certainly.
When I used to go to camp, I picture different eras like that, like the friend groups, the activities that I liked, the things I was doing.
I'd almost call it a season.
What do you mean?
It's a season in your life. Like, that was the camp season, or that was the drug season, or that was the overeating season. That's a couple seasons.
So many seasons.
Yeah.
What season are you in now?
That show was successful. right now?
Yeah.
I'm in my renaissance. I'm killing it.
Your peak?
I'm in my who knows.
Anything could happen from here.
I think so. I think it's looking up. I mean, I could be literally dying of poisoning from Lucky Charms. So, you know, fingers crossed either way. I just want to be careful and not upset.
General Mills?
Yeah, I don't want to upset General Mills because I'm still reeling from the fact that frickin' Taco Bell's really holding a resentment against your boy. God, let's bury the hatchet already. Come on, let's get a Baja Blast and talk it out. What the fuck? I'm so sorry.
Did you see there was a power outage at Universal Studios the other day?
Really?
Yeah, people got stuck on a coaster.
No.
Guess which one?
Harry Potter.
Transformers.
No thanks.
They had to get rescued. Have you ever been stuck on a coaster?
No.
You don't like coasters, right?
I mean, I'm down to clown, but for the most part, I spent most of my life too overweight to get on the coaster.
Actually?
Yeah, and then once I lost the weight, I'd sort of lost interest.
Right.
I mean, I've certainly been on some rides in my life.
Have you been to Six Flags here in California?
I have. The upsetting part was growing up overweight. You know, there'd be a certain amount of clicks for when the harness went on. And so, you know, my thin friends, you'd hear about 6 clicks before I locked in place. And me, I was like 1.5 clicks.
Were you? Did that kind of make you nervous?
Yeah, they're like, here, sit down, Joe. And you hear, they're like, and then for Josh, he'd be like,
dude, that would have scared me.
I was like, I'm one click away from death. My new album.
I'm gonna fall out.
Hey, how fun was Coachella?
Oh my god, so much fun.
Oh my god, just like the best time ever.
You know how you texted me that I have to be focused on a lot of pop culture stuff?
Sure, sure.
What if that text made me go to Coachella?
I mean, I wouldn't understand. Have you ever been?
No, and I don't ever have a desire to go.
I have no interest.
It's weird. There's just too many variables for me to actually want to go. So, for example, staying somewhere costs so much. Everything's so inflated. Finding food, getting to places. Did you hear about the Revolve event?
I did hear about that.
You get a ticket to go somewhere, and then they don't let you in. The buses aren't picking you up. There's just so many things that are up in the air for me to be confident that I'll have a good time.
So Page Six reports that Revolve sincerely apologizes for Fyre Festival like Coachella event. Revolve said it is sincerely sorry for leaving influencers in the lurch at its 2022 Coachella Festival over the weekend. The fashion brand issued a statement in response to the outcry over its star-studded event that was compared to the now infamous Fyre Festival, during which attendees were in anticipation of the high level of interest in attending Revolve Festival this year, Revolve worked closely with all appropriate city and safety authorities to ensure a safe and secure path for guests. So basically what happened was Revolve, who's this massive clothing company, had like an ancillary, like an adjacent party to Coachella, and they're spending millions of dollars bringing like the high level influencers and fancy people. They got like Post Malone, right? Like fancy acts. Like basically, they're having their own mini Coachella next to Coachella during the day, because during the day, everyone's recovering from overdosing on MDMA the night before, right?
Right. So they go to these events like Revolve to kind of like wind down, have fun, and then they go to the main Coachella event where the headliners are like Harry Styles and Billie Eilish.
Right, because they don't actually care about music. They only care about the popular things.
Correct.
Right. So you know, the Revolve of it all is like whatever. It's funny. I did get invited by Revolve to go. My wife doesn't listen to anything I do, so I'm not worried. But Revolve did. Shout out Revolve, who, you know, listen, I think they're culpable to a certain extent in this, but I think it's fine. Like, they're going to figure it out. But they did offer me 2 VIP tickets to Coachella to come and like post with my wife, and I didn't tell her.
Oh, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, and, you know, it was a really nice thing, and I would love to work with Revolve in the future. Shout out Revolve. But I was just like, and I know my wife is like a total Harry Styles stan, which does that intimidate and threaten me? Yeah. But
naturally, I had to keep her as far away from Coachella as I could.
Well, because you start thinking about the whole thing. I'm like, it's not about, look, concert, let's go. Live an interesting life. Experience, I'm in.
Yeah.
But like, what does that mean? When are we going to leave?
Right.
Because it's Friday night.
How are we getting home?
So we're going to have to drive probably at 4 a.m. Friday morning to try to miss some of the traffic, because there's 250,000 people going there. We're going to have to figure out stuff to do all day. And then we're going to go to that concert, and we're going to have like nice tickets, but like nothing fancy. We don't have artist passes.
Right.
So now we're like in the sun. She's a vegan. I'm Jewish. Right. We're going to wilt.
It's a recipe for disaster.
And then we watch Harry Styles, and like, then what happens that night? We're going to overpay at a Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to spend $1,000 for a Marriott Courtyard that's normally $130 a night.
My friend spent $600 at a Motel 6.
That's so wild.
That's because that's ridiculous. Do you want to go to the emo festival in Vegas with me?
No.
Good. I was making sure.
Okay, cool. Who's at the emo festival?
Well, here's the thing. I want to go to that because it's Vegas. Plenty of vacancy. You could stay at different hotels.
That's cool.
I'm going to be guest listed by a friend's band.
Done.
I'm going to get in, out. I'll be able to go wherever I want. There's not going to be a shortage of food. I can pop in, pop out.
Look, you know me. I'm a Neon Carnival guy. I'm a Stagecoach guy. I'm a Nocturnal Wonderland guy. I'm an Ultra guy. I don't know what I just said.
Lollapalooza and Josh Peck are synonyms.
Joshapalooza.
I'd go to Joshapalooza.
What would that be? Just the headliner's Oprah.
Headliner's Oprah. There's going to be massive food trucks left and right.
Magic.
Magic stands.
David Copperfield performs.
Face painting.
David Blaine. David Dobrik. Just all the Davids.
I assume maybe some comedians will be there. Maybe Chappelle will do a set.
Ooh.
And then you go on, you do your book tour.
The thing about Coachella, though, and I just have to, the reality is, and I don't want to be that old guy who says things like, it used to be better. It's
you're not
ruined.
Old. You're not old.
I'm oldish.
No, you're not.
I just never want to be that guy, because I hear too many like screams of dinosaurs, of like old men screaming at the generations after them going like, you kids don't get it. It's like, shut the fuck up. But
with that said, I do have to chime in.
It's just like Coachella, whatever version it was 10 years ago when it was like maybe like a little bit more closer to its roots, a little cooler. Like, it's such a money making apparatus now, right? So you've got like the Revolves, you've got like major corporate money now, bigger than Revolve, who are like backing this concert, right? And food and in parties and in gifting and in promotion and sponsorships. So you have all of that that's sort of, you know, invaded what was slightly like this pure thing.
Right.
Then you have the influencer element, right? So like most of the people there aren't riding the Ferris wheel for fun. They're riding for a picture. Like the reality is a lot of people are there for work. Like even our girls who we love, the female versions of us, like Alicia and Remy, right? From Pretty Basic. Love them. Mm-hmm. Love them, right? And I was like watching their stories over the last couple of days and I was like, that looks super fun, but I could tell like that looks like a lot of work.
Yeah.
Like it seemed like they were working and a lot of thought had gone into going and a lot of thought was going into being there.
Can you imagine us at Coachella?
No.
We show up in just our black tees and shorts.
Just like black cargo pants.
We're looking for Jocko.
Oh my God.
Oh. Are you sitting down?
That sounds like a good O. That sounds like a good O.
Josh.
What?
Jocko wants us to do a podcast with him.
Wait, Jocko Willink, our hero, famous Navy SEAL, motivational speaker, author, and basically American hero, wants us to do a podcast with him in his home in San Diego?
Yeah, we have to drive to San Diego.
In San Diego?
But it's worth it.
San Diego.
Do you want to do it?
Yes, of course.
Black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, 20 years in the Navy, commanded SEAL teams task unit bruiser from the Iraq War.
The guy is a fucking brute.
Similar body type to you.
Stocky, yet functional. I want to compare legs, thighs with him.
I wonder who could squat more.
He can, but he can.
We should see how long it takes him to choke us out.
So he's famous that he works out. He gets up every morning at 4:30 a.m. to work out. I think we should get a hotel room. Somewhere nice. Marriott. Maybe a Spring Hill Suites.
Maybe a Staybridge.
I was a Marriott Courtyard guy for forever. And then I stayed at a Spring Hill Suites in Roanoke, Virginia, which is also a Marriott property. I'm a points guy. And and they were like, and make sure you join us for our free breakfast in the morning. I'm like, free breakfast? Like, what's this going to be? Like, cereal and orange juice? What a spread, my boy.
Really?
What a spread.
Wow.
Eggs, sausage, make your own waffle stage.
You would do a make your own waffle stage.
I tried it. It's worth it.
No, it's not.
It's worth it to know that it's not worth it.
Do you want to do a podcast with him?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to San Diego. Let's go work out with him and let's do a pod.
Okay.
This guy puts whole milk in his fucking protein shakes. He is not messing around.
I want him to body slam me. Like put me through a table.
I want to do whatever he wants to do and more. Hey, Tammy Topics here.
Hi, Tammy.
Did you know that Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox reunite with Friends Forever merch? They'll be there for you forever. Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox recently reunited in a sweet tribute to their friendship and the show that catapulted them to fame. Aniston shared a boomerang showing her and Cox modeling Friends Forever t-shirts. The cheeky t-shirts and other Friends merch are being sold for a limited time to raise money for health and development nonprofit.
Is this a sponsor?
There goes this story.
Why?
Because I first saw it and I was like, how rich does one need to be? But of course, it's connected to doing a good thing. They're giving the money to charity. What? I can't harp on this. We can't make fun of this.
We're kind of like the Jen and Court too.
Yeah, 100%.
Who's Court?
Me.
Who's Jen?
You.
Thanks.
I will say that we once went to Courtney Cox's house to film a video.
Yeah.
I think I have a crush on her a little bit.
You do?
She was adorable.
Mm, I love her dog.
Oh my God. Rich.
Beautiful home.
Unreal.
Tennis court.
If you have a tennis court in Los Angeles, you're doing well. If you have a tennis court in Dallas, you're doing okay. If you have a tennis court in Los Angeles, like you can afford that square footage of court, you're doing great.
Did you watch Friends?
Yes and no. I remember watching it and liking it to a certain extent. I can't go back and watch it and enjoy it now. I can't go back and watch most sitcoms except for Golden Girls. Shout out Golden Girls.
Can I tattle off shows and you tell me if you watch them or not?
Sure.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Never.
King of Queens.
Nope.
Home Improvement?
Yes.
Why that one?
Because I was younger, and so I think it had like
the three boys kind of.
Yeah, it was just like I was younger, so it appealed to me. Like Malcolm in the Middle came out at a time where I was like a teen, so I was I was 12 or 13. So I was like watching The Real World. Like I was watching.
You watched The Real World?
Oh yeah.
Road Rules, Real World?
All of it.
Really?
Oh my God. Everything on MTV, True Life.
Love True Life.
True Life, my Super Sweet 16.
Love Sweet 16. When they'd have bands perform.
Oh my God. Exhibits. What was it? Pimp My Ride.
Pimp My Ride.
It's the best.
It was probably like the second week that I moved out to California. I went to West Coast Customs.
Wow.
And I saw everyone's car. Shaq had his cars there. Rob Dyrdek had his cars there.
Yeah, you did.
Travis Barker had his cars there.
Yeah, you fucking did.
It was so dope.
So sick.
I didn't see your car there.
No, it's a waste of money. All that aftermarket shit, it only devalues your car inevitably.
Yeah, I always wanted a fish tank in my car. Maybe next time.
Yeah, it's just not sustainable. Like,
not practical.
Not fun for the fish. What if you got a, what about if you park on it in July at a Target?
Where would you put it?
Sun beating down on your car. Those fish are fucking dead.
Guess you have free lunch.
You can eat the dead fish from the tank.
Can you have boiled fish?
Ugh. No, you can boil a fish.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you could steam a fish. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be yummy, but there's certainly less cute ways for you to cook fish that would be kind of a bummer, but it is what it is. You know, like you got to be down to clown fish.
I love that cute is just so part of your vocabulary.
Hey, did you know that Uber, Amtrak, and airlines drop mask requirements after judge strikes down rule?
Yeah, my parents were on a flight last night, and midway through the flight, the pilot makes an announcement on the speaker and told people to throw out their masks.
Did people cheer?
They said yes.
I love a cheer moment.
Did you see the video on Twitter of the one flight attendant singing a song? He's going down the aisle holding a trash bag. No more masks. No more masks.
No.
And people are throwing their masks in there.
Although, did you see on that air, I forget what the flight was, where it was the guy, they were like Christian missionaries, and they got up and started playing guitar, and like it was like a, you know, 10 people who are on these. Actually, the problem is that they were actually doing something really good, which was helping like the efforts in Ukraine, but they got up and started like singing a sermon to Jesus in the middle of a flight, and the guy's like playing the guitar. Have you seen this?
No.
Look it up.
What's the moral? Take off, were they taking off their masks or what?
No, it was just about like loving Jesus, 30,000 miles up, closer to God.
What do I even type in?
I don't know.
Playing guitar?
Playing Christian singing.
Playing on on the twits? Oh, here. Wow. Worshiping Jesus 30,000 feet in the air. I would hate that.
It's such an invasion. Even if it's something good. I wouldn't want a Girl Scout on my flight trying to sell me cookies. I'd be like, leave me alone.
No, you wouldn't. You'd buy all of her cookies.
I'd be like, maybe once we land. But right now, I need to have my privacy.
When people notice you on planes, do they ask you for a photo?
Sometimes. And I you know, obviously, I'm happy to do it. But I think it's odd because, you know, your boy's sitting in first. Respect the curtain.
Oh, they come through the curtain?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm like, get back in steerage, you fuck.
Are you in the aisle or are you in the window?
Day flight, aisle, your boy pees a lot. Night flight, window, he sleeps a lot.
You have it all figured out, man.
I just think it's interesting. Like, I was, no, I take the photos. I'm more than happy to do it. And even sometimes I sit and coach. But I try to avoid it. But I, you know, I was thinking about the other day why, like, the other day I was literally, I go on these walks at night because my son goes to bed around 7:30 and then I'll just take, like, a nice, like, hour long walk.
It's my favorite feature about you.
Thanks, babe.
You just go through on walks through really weird areas of town.
That's my neighborhood. And this girl like saw me and I saw her clock me as I walked by her and she literally screamed while as I'm 15 feet away from her, hug me, brother, which for anyone who doesn't know is my catchphrase from Drake and Josh. Now, I've always had a bit of a visceral dislike of when people scream catchphrases at me, and not kids obviously, but like grown humans. And I think I finally realized why. I don't like basic.
Oh, you want like a creative thing. You want someone to say something from a movie that you did that wasn't very well seen?
Maybe that, or just like, I don't like things that are common, that are basic.
Yeah, you want a special moment.
And to me, what's always, it's a mixture of like, it's so basic and they're really impressed with themselves.
Right.
That it just, it goes against my comedian brain. I'm like if they were a comedian, I'd be like, that's hacky.
Yeah.
Like that, you know, it's, we've heard that one.
Did I ever tell you my moment with the hardcore legend of WWE?
Mick Foley?
Yeah. The guy who puts people through tables, got thrown off the Hell in the Cell by The Undertaker.
Dude Love.
Cactus Jack.
Yeah.
And I saw him because of what you're saying right there, I wanted him to have a special moment with me so he'd remember.
Tell me. I think you told me, but tell me.
I went up to him. I said, I loved your episode of Wife Swap.
Genius.
Everyone tells him, I love when you got thrown off the Hell in the Cell.
Boring.
Everyone says, when you fell on those thumbtacks and started bleeding out of your head.
Who cares?
When him and his wife cleaned out that fridge. Hot.
Be honest. Hey, I'm having a real issue getting a new car, and I recently got into a pretty heated shouting match with someone at a car dealership.
Did you really?
On the next episode of Male Models. Right?
What car were you trying to get?
An Acura. Shout out Acura.